Well, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, and he has a few things to say about false prophets. It's an interesting thing because Peter's at the very end of his life. He's about to put off the earthly tent, as he said in the first chapter, and he's about to go to be with the Lord. And what do you do when you know your time is near? It's those times when you say things mindful of those who are left behind to help them. That's why we have things written in this letter like this chapter, a warning about false prophets. It's because there were false prophets at work right then. Let's read. But false prophets arose among the people, as false teachers will also be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, denying the master who brought them, bringing on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their immoral ways, and as a result, the way of the truth will be maligned. In covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words, whose sentence now from of old doesn't linger, and their destruction will not slumber. For if God didn't spare angels when they sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and didn't spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood on the world of the ungodly and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, having made them an example to those who would live in an ungodly way, and delivered righteous Lot, who was very distressed by the lustful life of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them was tormented in his righteous soul from day to day with seeing and hearing lawless deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. But chiefly those who walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, don't bring a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as unreasoning creatures, born natural animals to be taken and destroyed, speaking evil in matters about which they are ignorant, will in their destroying surely be destroyed. Receiving the wages of unrighteousness, people who count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and defects, reveling in their deceit while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and who can't cease from sin, enticing unsettled souls, having a heart trained in greed, children of cursing, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wrongdoing. But he was rebuked for his own disobedience. A mute donkey spoke with a man's voice and stopped the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever. For uttering great swelling words of emptiness, they entice in the lusts of their flesh by licentiousness those who are indeed escaping from those who live in error, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For a man is brought into bondage by whoever overtakes him. For if after they have escaped the defilement of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow that has washed to wallowing in the mire. All right, Peter's warning them about false prophets. Now, the funny thing about false prophets, not funny in like, humorous, but the odd thing about false prophets is they, by nature of it, they look real. So Peter says here, he says, false prophets also arose among the people. So he's talking about like a historical biblical moment. There were false prophets in the Old Testament. He says, just as false teachers will be among you. So they secretly bring in destructive heresies. denying even the master. Now, who's the master? Jesus. So there are people who Paul's warning them about. There'll be false teachers who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and even deny Jesus. I've said quite a few times as we've gone through the New Testament that there's this period from the time of Jesus to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem where there's basically a civil war in Judaism. We saw this in the book of Galatians quite clearly, where Paul came through, preached to the Galatian Christians the gospel. You're saved by faith in Jesus and nothing else. But then along after that, Paul moves on to some other places. Along comes some other teachers, which Paul calls the Judaizers. They get to Galatia and they start saying, yes, faith in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised. In other words, it's faith plus doing things. So then they start to change the teaching that was there at first. That would be called a destructive heresy. And it would be happening to them, maybe not secretly, because you can tell, you can see what's being said, but sneakily. Peter's saying that false teachers would come along and secretly bring destructive heresies. In other words, it happens in a way that you don't realize it's happening. It seems normal. Well, Paul was so wild back in Galatia about this idea of, yes, faith in Jesus plus do some things like circumcision and stuff. He was so wild about that, he said a few quite remarkable things. He said that this gospel, that this new version of the gospel, because he came preaching the gospel, but then they came along with a kind of a modified version. He said this new version of the gospel wasn't the gospel at all. Even though Jesus was in it somehow, it wasn't the gospel at all, and it denied the Lord. Well, how does it deny the Lord if Jesus is included? This is how. Because if you have to do things to get saved, why do you need Jesus? If you have to be circumcised to be saved, why do you need Jesus? If you have to keep the Jewish feasts, why do you need Jesus? So once you start saying you've got to do things to be saved, you're denying the Lord. And Peter said here that they would bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master, denying Jesus, saying, yeah, we've got Jesus. Yep, and that's all very wonderful, but you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the feast. You've got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to keep the Passover. You've got to eat the right food, and on it goes. And Peter says here they'll bring on themselves destruction, because that's what happened in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. And of course, there's an eternal destruction as well for false teachers too, but there was this particular period of time when there were these competing teachings. There was the teachings of Jesus, but there was the false teaching trying to take people back to the Judaism form of faith. But no, the Jewish people who accepted Jesus as the Messiah, they continued on in true faith. They had it before and they had it after. But the ones who rejected Jesus, even though they kept being Jewish, they lost their faith. And Peter says here they would bring on themselves swift destruction. In fact, something very terrible here in verse 4. It says, if God didn't spare angels when they sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, he'll make an example. Basically, if God didn't spare angels when they sinned, he's going to not spare these preachers. He mentions that these angels were cast to Tartarus. That's an interesting thing right there. It sounds like something out of science fiction, but it's not. It's actually, believe it or not, a Greek word that's not found anywhere in the whole entire Bible, only here. It's found one place in the Bible. And whenever a word appears once in the Bible, they have a special term for that. It's called a hapax legomena. It means spoken once. That's what the word means. So here's a word spoken once in the Bible. So people, experts, on the Bible have looked up this word in other literature and have found that in Greek thinking, this was the lowest, deepest part of hell. So what Peter is saying here is that God sent those angels that rejected the Lord, you think the devil and others, he sent them to Tartarus, to the worst part of hell. And Peter is saying, if God didn't spare those angels, he's not going to spare these false teachers either. Oh, very, very terrible. But there is some good news here. It says in verse 9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Or a different Bible version says, God knows how to deliver the godly out of trouble. Thank God for that. Sometimes he delivers you quickly. Sometimes he delivers you slowly, but the Lord knows how to do it. Sometimes the Lord delivers you, like Daniel, out of the lion's den, and it's obvious to all. Sometimes, like those early Christians who were eaten by the lions, the Lord delivers you out of the earth, straight into his heavenly kingdom. But either way, the Lord will deliver. This verse encourages me a lot. And I think I've been through difficult times in life, various times and places. I've been through challenging situations. And I remind myself, the Lord knows what I'm going through. The Lord knows how to deliver me out of trouble. And so my trust is in him. If he does it quickly, I'll be glad. If he does it slowly, I will trust him. Thank you, Lord, for 2 Peter 2. Thank you, Lord, that you know how to deliver us. And I pray that you would cause us to be wise as well about false teaching, just as they were like clued up by Peter back then. I pray that you'd help us to think right and to know what the real gospel is and to cling to that. In Jesus' name, amen.